Where are you from?
Brockton.
Okay, Massachusetts. Brockton. Okay, if you go and get the what?
Pot.
This is the plaintiff, Nicholas Grassa. He says he purchased a power steering pump from the defendant, and when his mechanic went to install it, he showed him it was defective. The defendant replaced the part, but now he's on the hook for two installations from his mechanic, and he thinks the defendant should pay for the second one. The defendant refuses. That's why he's here suing for the $145 in additional labor he's owed. This is the defendant, Mary Phillips. She says she sent the first pump out to the manufacturer to have it tested, and it came back with a clean bill of health and was deemed to be in perfect condition. She has no control over the plaintiff's inept mechanic, went above and beyond for the plaintiff, and refuses to pay for extra work that did not need to be done in the first place. She's accused of steering a customer the wrong way.
All parties, please raise your right hand.
What you are about to witness is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with a case pending in civil court. Both parties have agreed to drop their claims and have their cases settled here before Judge Marilyn Million in our forum, the People's Court.
Be seated, come to order, please. Litigants have been sworn, Your Honor.
Thank you, Douglas. Welcome okay, in. Nicholas Grassa?
Yes.
You are suing Woodward's Auto Parts, represented here by Mary Phillips. You work for them?
Yes.
Okay, great. For $145, the extra cost you had to pay for labor because a part you bought from them didn't work.
Correct.
What happened?
Well, back in February of 2014, I was having problems with my car steering. Brought it to my mechanic, and he took a look at it and said, you need a power steering pump. So he was kind of busy, so he said, if you go get the pot.
Where are you from?
Brockton.
Okay, Massachusetts. Yeah. Okay, if you go and get the what?
Pot. Okay.
Go on.
He said, if you go get the pot, I'll install it for you. So I went over to Woodward's.
Okay.
Not even about a mile away.
Okay.
Went there, purchased the pot. Brought it to my mechanic. Got a phone call late in the day saying that the pump was not working and that he wanted me to look at it. He started the car up and the fluid was just pumping out of the new pump that he put in.
It was pumping out of where? Does anybody know or no?
Right at the top. It was just coming out. It was leaking. Okay. Leaking and pumping fluid. It was.
All right. Do you have something from the mechanic that talks about what the problem was?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me see it.
So we needed a new pump, so I had to go back to Woodward's, the old pump.
So he says the first one was leaking between the reservoir and pump, customer part.
Yes.
Okay, so go on.
So I went back to Woodward's with that pot. They gave me a new one, no problems. So went back to
your mechanic charged you an extra $145 to install the second part.
For his labor, back and forth, removing it and replacing it.
Right. So instead of paying $145, he charged you $290.
Yes.
Were you surprised that your mechanic charged you double or no? You hadn't thought it through?
I never had the problem before.
Yeah. So you went, because normally they'd be supplying the part and they'd figure it
right.
out with their own, you know.
Right, exactly. Right.
So that's food for thought. So did you go back to the auto parts place?
Yes, I did.
And did you speak with her or somebody else?
I spoke to a gentleman there.
So when you went back, did you say, who's going to pay me my $145?
Well, not in that manner.
How did you say it?
I went in there and I...
So like this, who's going to pay me my $145? No, wait, that's dollars.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Harvey Levin here. So the question, does this defendant have to pay the customer for that second installation because the part was defective in the first place?
Absolutely, yes.
Because?
They should warranty their product.
And that's a really good point. But ultimately, it's the manufacturer who made the mistake. So is the guy who sold it still responsible?
Yes, because it's his business and he should back up his, you know, his parts.
Fair points. Going inside the courtroom.
So you went back and what'd you say?
I just wanted to find out about the $145.
Yeah, yeah. And he said, we don't do that? Or what
did
he say?
Well, he said, we have to put a claim in.
Okay. Did you folks put a claim in?
We did.
Okay. Yeah. Who'd you put the claim in with?
It was with Quality Manufacturing.
Is that the people who sold it to you?
Correct.
Okay.
Quality Rebuilders out of New Jersey.
So was the part a rebuilt part?
It was a remanufactured pump, yes.
Oh. And so they sold it to you. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to show me your evidence that it was not defective is going to be them saying it wasn't?
It's a letter from the company itself. The unit, when we get a labor claim, we submit the part as well as the claim. So we would have put a claim in with Quality for $145. We send that part back to the company. If that part is found defective or not in good working order, they will pay the labor claim.
Have you ever seen them do it?
Yes, I have a copy of another company that has paid a labor claim to
us
for
Quality. Has Quality ever paid a labor claim?
Yes.
Do you have a copy of Quality?
No.
And the other company, did the other company have insurance? And was it insurance that paid, or was the other company
no,
pulled it out
of
their
the
own
pocket?
No, it
was the company we purchased it from.
Okay.
And that was for a much larger job.
How long
job.
Have you been there?
I've been there over 3 years.
How often have you seen the company say, oh, yeah, this was trash, we owe you money?
It does happen, believe it or not.
What percentage of the cases?
I would say anywhere from 30 to 50, depending. I mean, they're remanufactured parts. So they've already been used. They've been sent back to the company,
rebuilt,
and resold.
But here's the thing. So we have his mechanic who does not want to do this twice. I mean, the mechanic's not in business to do things twice. They want their business to move the car and get another car in, right? And that mechanic says, this part didn't work. I put it in. It didn't work. And you saw that it didn't work.
Yes.
So do you have any evidence that this mechanic is an incompetent? Because he put in the other one and it worked just fine, that he also bought from you.
Correct.
That I presume you also bought from them?
No, it was a different manufacturer. The second
you
one
gave
we
him,
sent.
The second one was a different manufacturer.
Correct.
That one worked just fine. I have to decide because I don't know. You don't know. He doesn't know. Right. I have to decide whose word am I going to believe about whether this thing works? Am I going to believe his mechanic who has no skin in the fight? No, no dog in the fight, no skin in the game. Right. No dog in the fight, no skin in the game. Cubans mix our metaphors all the time. Or do I believe the guys who would have to shell out the 145 who say, we don't owe you 145 because we trust us, we don't. And I know you don't have any other form of doing this. This is the only way you can do this. I know you have to run your business this way.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's, without anything more, it's not looking good, but go ahead.
If I may.
Yes.
So the plaintiff came in.
We don't have to get that. We know he came in.
Yep.
We know he made a claim. We know
part.
you guys did everything top notch. You were polite. You returned
yes.
the thing. You gave him back his money for the part. You sent in the claim. Got it.
Right. I mean, as far as we're a parts dealer, we are not an automotive repair place.
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
Did you answer the complaint or did somebody else answer the complaint? Who's the one who said it's like a restaurant through the distributor?
That would be me.
Okay. So say your metaphor again. Cause I'm going to tell you why your metaphor is wrong. I may mix mine, but I got mine straight. Go ahead.
My metaphor was if you get food poisoning, you don't go back to the manufacturer you get the food from, you go back to the restaurant.
Exactly. And you're the restaurant.
No, his mechanic's the restaurant.
Incorrect, because you're assuming that his mechanic did something wrong. First of all, he dealt directly with you. So the mechanic is not even in the ballpark in terms of where the problems start, unless you have proof his mechanic doesn't know what he's doing. And I have proof that he seems to, because the next one worked just fine, didn't have a problem. It's a different manufacturer. And I have no, have you ever worked with this mechanic before?
Oh, yes.
Obviously,
yes.
You're close if you're able to just run down and get a part and whatever else.
Very
Has
good.
He ever given you a problem?
No.
Have you ever heard anything bad about Mario's Car Care?
No.
Well, you better start talking, because that's, you know.
I mean.
Is he a customer of
he
yours?
He is one of our customers. He's a very good customer of ours.
You going to say something bad about him?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Just basically, I mean,
I got
him.
It. We're done. Pay the guy $145. Verdict for the plaintiff.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're just left holding the bag. You did a great job.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right, hold on.
Well, Judge Millian says you did a great job.
Yes.
Any solace there after losing the decision?
I just personally, we weren't the people that installed it. We weren't the people that did the repair. We sold a part. He paid for the part. He had a problem with the part. We replaced the part. So as far as a business who is in the business of selling parts, we sold him his part and replaced one that was wrong. So unfortunately, she didn't see that side, but...
You lost.
That's what it is.
In other words, you lost.
To put it bluntly, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So,
how you doing?
Good. How you doing? You satisfied how this comes out here?
Very nice. Mm-hmm. And the judge saw right through what was going on with the auto parts company, and I prevailed.
Yeah. Congratulations. Are you saying pots?
Like pot. One pot. I'm sorry.
What?
The power steering pump.
Oh, the part.
Oh,
parts.
Pot. Pot.
Pots?
Yes.
Okay. Harvey?
Okay, Kurt, I got to say, she is absolutely right that the defendant is the business person and the defendant is responsible for selling what they sell, and then you can go back to the manufacturer and complain. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on their way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Roger Lucas. He says he agreed to rent a room in the defendant's apartment, gave a deposit, and then realized he wasn't comfortable renting there because the electricity had been shut off. He told the defendant he changed his mind and asked for a refund. She refused. So here they are. He's suing the in-the-dark woman for $1,600, the amount he was due. This is the defendant, Alija Bennett. She says she was using candles in the apartment when the plaintiff came to see the place because the electricity was turned off. She told the plaintiff she was going to use the money he'd be paying in rent to get the lights back on, and he did just that. Later that day, the guy claims he changed his mind, threatened her to the point she was traumatized, and here they are. She's accused of not seeing the light.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case in the docket. The plaintiff rented a room from the defendant, but after giving the deposit, changed his mind because the electricity was shut off. Now, the defendant says he knew that she would use the money to turn the lights back on. It's the case of the lights are off and somebody's home.
Thank you,
Douglas.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Roger Lucas?
Yes.
You are suing Alija Bennett?
Yes.
Okay, for $1,600, $1,000 that you forwarded to her, plus your lost wages, aggravation, and money you had to pay to stay with a friend when she wouldn't return your money. Okay, what happened?
We was in a situation where we was leaving.
Who's we, the two of you?
Me and my girlfriend.
What was your situation?
We had to leave and evacuate the place where we was at. So
evacuate why?
Oh, because the lady got sick while we was renting a room.
The lady who got sick was your roommate?
No, yeah.
Okay,
right.
And were you paying rent?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
but your roommate was not paying rent?
No.
No,
and that's the landlord was evicting you guys.
Yes.
Okay, because the landlord wasn't getting the full rent, according to you.
Yeah.
The landlord might say he wasn't getting any rent, but okay. Finally, the marshals were about to haul you away by your ponytails.
Yes.
Right. Okay. And so what'd you do? So
I had to search for a place. So I found her ad on Craigslist.
Okay. So you went to look at the place.
Yes.
You liked it.
She told us. Yes. She told us.
What did you like about it?
Well, it wasn't that I really liked it. It was just the fact that we needed something right away.
Okay.
And we was talking to her and everything. She told us that the lights was off and everything.
The lights were off?
Yeah.
And she showed you a place where the electricity wasn't flowing?
Yeah.
How do you get lights turned off?
Well, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Well, no, you know. Think it through. How do lights get turned off?
If you don't pay.
Exactly.
There you go.
So according to you, you're in a situation where someone doesn't pay and it's out of your control and you get evicted, and you're trying to go desperately from that situation to this one where someone doesn't pay and it's you're out of control and you're not going to have power?
Yeah.
It was that good?
Yeah, well, she's...
Go to a shelter and keep the money and sleep like this. What are you talking about? Yeah.
Can I say something, please?
Yeah, I'm dying to hear it.
When I met him, he was living with his... is a home lady, and she...
Were you there when... Let me tell you what
I care about.
I don't care about when you met him. I want to know
I was not there.
So you didn't see the apartment?
No. Yeah, I met him.
He says, yes, you did see that apartment.
Well,
that apartment. Honey, I don't want to hear about the history of your relationship.
Yes,
you saw that apartment.
Yes.
And then you saw him hand over a grand to her.
Yeah, the thing about it was kind of my fault in a sense that... Because I was talking with her because she was talking about her Christianity. She's Christian and everything, and she's doing all this thing, and they had the candles in the apartment.
Well, so Lord knows, Christians have no problems.
No, but here it is. He was so generous.
He was not making a donation. He was renting the place.
Okay, wait.
But I don't understand why you would go from the frying pan into the fire like this.
Yeah, but after we thought about that.
You need to think about things beforehand.
Yeah,
why was your power off?
Yeah.
Not afterwards.
Yeah.
We have a name for people who think about things afterwards. We call them litigants. That's what we call people who think about things afterwards. Why was the power off in your place?
Your Honor, I'm on disability, so I get two checks a month. So it's hard to balance all my bills by myself. That's the reason why I rent the room out for help.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the nature of the disability, physical or mental?
I took a fall down the train steps 4 years ago.
All right. Yeah. So the lights were out because you didn't pay your bills, but you know, it takes a while for the power company.
It was pretty high.
Just like it takes a while for the marshals to come, it takes a while for the power company to turn off your bills. How high was the bill?
It was off just for a few days.
How high was it?
$2,500.
Okay. Well, you didn't have $1,500 on you. So his $1,000, did that get the light back on or no?
Yes, ma'am.
How did the $1,000 get the light back on?
I got a payment plan.
And they had told you had to pay what?
$895 to turn the lights back on.
Okay, so you had already talked to him, you already knew that you needed $895. You got $1,000 from him, which was $800 for 1 month's rent plus $200 for what?
No, the agreement was to give me $1,600. He was supposed to pay for November's rent and December's rent.
Because it was going
to
be...
He's supposed to come back the next day with the other $600.
Got it. But that didn't happen because instead what happened is what? You end up going back there that night.
Yeah, I guess.
After you think
night.
It through.
Yeah.
Where were you going to sleep then if you weren't going to sleep there?
We were homeless. We were streetless.
Yeah.
We was on the streets.
Yeah. Well, where were you going to sleep then?
We were staying on the truck.
We was thinking like when we would just rather stay in that situation, probably go to the shelter if that's the case.
We was inside a van living.
Okay, so you go back that night, how long later?
We left 8 o'clock and came back 10.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So he comes back at 10? Or you weren't there?
I wasn't there, Your Honor. I didn't stay there because the lights were off.
You call her when she's not there, and what happens? Let me see what you
When I was calling her several times, she never picked up my phone calls.
Right.
So then I started to get nervous. Then we had the keys to the apartment, so we waited in the apartment to see if like she'll show up.
But it was nighttime. Like there were no lights. What was going on?
Candles.
Yeah, I had my phone. Yeah.
She had candles on.
Candles?
Yeah.
But the candles weren't lit when she wasn't there.
Yeah, she was.
She lit the candles and
she left them lit when she left.
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Did you really leave the candles lit when you left?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes.
Am I the only one who thinks that's dangerous?
Yes.
These were tall candles.
Tall candles. The kind that are top heavy and fall over. Okay.
They knew that the lights were off when they gave me $1,000.
It's not like, see, that's the thing. I would run, not walk to the near. I
mean, we were on the streets.
Can you stop talking?
Sorry.
I know you were on the streets. You have $1,000 on you. You're on the streets. Go to the shelter one night and find a place that has like minimum standards like lights. Because that's exactly what you ended up doing. You either slept in the car or slept at a friend's.
Yeah.
Or you figured out how to sleep at a friend's because that's part of what you're suing for. So you figured it out. How is it you go there and think this is a good idea? But that's your life. That's the decision you made. Wasn't a good one, but it wasn't my decision.
Right.
It was your decision. And then now what? Because she says, well, we had a deal. By the way, there's no lease, right?
No contract.
Okay. So you had a deal.
Yeah.
You had a deal with her, which is by operation of law, since there's no written lease, a month-to-month tenancy. Yeah. And when you have a month-to-month tenancy, the minute you hand over that money and say, yes, I want to live here, you've created a tenancy by operation of law. She doesn't have to return your $800. You do have to return the $200. Why didn't you return the $200? The extra stuff, because all you get to keep is the 1 month. You don't get to keep 2 months.
Your Honor, can I say something?
Yeah.
From that night forward, I have 21 death threats on my phone.
From who?
From that night.
From who?
He's supposed to be in some game called the Bloods. The Bloods been calling me.
Are you in a gang called
the
Bloods?
Burn me
you just
up.
Make it look
they're
that
gonna
way.
They're going to beat the crap out of me. I was called so
Let's
many
hear
names.
Play the best one. I'm not going to hear 21 of them.
You have 21 saved messages.
Son of a bitch. You can't even talk. But don't worry, man. I'll leave this very nice special one for you, baby. Don't worry. You're going to be my... Watch me, Marcy. Watch me, baby.
Can I play one more?
Yeah.
To replay this
message. Now I'm into it.
It gets worse.
That's not it.
Stop talking. If you talk again, I'm going to exclude you from the courtroom. You're not even a party to this.
You know all about you. You don't know nothing about me. Oh, but guess what? Let's go here. You're so alive. You are going to die on $1,000 for people coming out for the money. But you should have opened the door that night. That guy had a gun in him. You up? Come on. You didn't know what you was missing, baby. But come on, baby. Don't be more, I tell you, mother.
I got it. You can hang on. Yeah? What did you want to say?
So, if the plaintiff had his friends call the defendant to make these threats, is the plaintiff guilty of the crime of making criminal threats?
Most definitely.
But he's not the one who called.
as far as...
But he put his friends up to it.
Yes, but he's still responsible because he is associated with the act.
Well, is he responsible if he put his friends up to making a threat to this woman?
I mean, I don't know. It's guilty based on what, association? But unfortunately, it does happen way too often, so we got to be used to it, right?
Responsible?
I would say so.
The plaintiff put him up to it, put the friends up to it, right?
It all started with him.
Yeah, going inside the courtroom.
It's not him.
No, I don't know whether it's him or somebody he got to call, but it's all about the $1,000 that you want back.
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure that it was at your direction.
Yeah,
right?
I only told some friends because I called her several times.
And then you gave the friends her phone number so they can all call and threaten her that they're going to mess her up and the physical violence?
Well, technically.
Do you know how close you are to getting arrested? You'll have three hots and a cot then, won't you?
Well.
Did you take this to the police?
Yes.
What's going on?
Actually, they asked me, and I wasn't going to lie. They asked me, was it him? In the back of my mind, I wanted to say it was him because I was traumatized. I was scared. You know, I didn't know if I can go to the store. Every noise I heard, I was trembling. I was shaking. I was scared. They made these people, four different people call me like I robbed them, like I took their money.
So you told the police that and then?
I have a receipt with his signature on it that he gave me the money for light and rent.
Well, he doesn't give
you
the money for light. He gives you the money for rent.
No, but on the receipt.
I don't care what you wrote. It doesn't matter. His obligation to you is for rent. I agree with you. He doesn't get, you don't get to make a contract and then rip it up because you thought better about making it. You're a grown man and you have the same obligations as everybody else does who enters into a contract. You're not special. You blew it. You shouldn't have given her that money. You shouldn't have rented a place without lights. You shouldn't have done all that. Yeah.
I did not move in the place.
I don't care. You didn't move in. Are you hearing me?
Yeah,
you can't change your mind. That's what I'm telling you. You can. Good for you. Don't move in. But that costs you, not her. She didn't have to return your money other than the $200. Why is all this threatening stuff going on?
Well, I didn't know all that happened.
Oh, she never... come on. The reason you're giving these guys a phone number is to make sure you get your $1,000 back at every cost. So you want to make sure you terrorize her.
She never told me anything about
it. She needs to tell you? How about your friends? Your friends tell you?
No.
Oh.
I didn't know anybody called her. I thought everybody that tried to reach her.
No, the point isn't to get your $1,000 back. Telling her you're with the Bloods. Yeah, with the Bloods.
Do I look like I was with the Bloods?
No, you don't. So why are you telling her that?
Well,
just to scare her and make her say, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid. I can't. I'm choking on this fear. Here's your $1,000. Because it could have worked. In a lot of cases, it would have worked. It didn't work here. She's a little tougher than that. She pretty much figured you went with the Bloods. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say right now. You owe him $200 because you have the right to keep 1 month's rent. Because when he rents, it's a month to month. And on a month to month, he has to pay the month that he paid you. He doesn't get it back, but he doesn't have to pay $200 extra. All you get to keep is 1 month. 1 month is $800. You owe him $200. Now I want you to listen to me and listen to me good. I'm going to get a copy of every single one of those threats. Because even if you didn't get arrested for this, it's clearly at your direction. So you better hope that she does not trip over anything. Because the first person that the police are going to go to is going to be you. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay? All right. Next time, think things through before you do them. You're not in a position to be able to blow $800. My not wanting anyone to be homeless, even you, does not mean that you didn't enter a contract. I am bound by the law. When you do something stupid, I have to hold your feet to the fire just like everybody else because you're not special. So my verdict is in his favor, but only for the $200 extra dollars beyond the month's rent. Pay the man, okay? Good luck, folks.
All right.
And so that's the ruling, and here's the plaintiff. Come on out here. Tell me what's the first thing that's going through your mind right here?
Well, right now, I was trying to use that money that I got back to try to get another place, but now everybody needs security and down payment. That's the only problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll be getting $200.
Well, I just got to save up again, you know?
Mm-hmm. How about how all this went down and how it was handled? You heard what she played there. How about the way it was handled?
Well, I didn't know that, you know, whoever did that, you know, that was crazy.
Shouldn't have been done that way. Should have been done a different way.
I didn't even know because she didn't call me. I called several times. You know, she never returned my calls. Everybody reached out. They got through her. She blocked my number, so I couldn't even.
All right, around the corner, please. Head right around that way. All right. All right, so step on in here. And how are you feeling coming out of the courtroom at this point?
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm cool with the decision.
All right.
It's fair.
And how about the way things were handled?
Shocking. You know, they knew that I wasn't going to be able to pay them back. That's the thing. They knew that.
Have those calls stopped?
once I went to the precinct, the call stopped. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you going to do anything further with those messages?
I'm just going to keep them in case something happens to me, but I serve a God that nothing's going to happen to me.
Harvey?
Okay, you know, this is such a good point. If you make a threat to somebody and then something happens to that person, even if you didn't actually commit the crime or the physical violence, you're automatically a suspect. And that will do it for this case. Litigants for the next case on the way into the courtroom right now.
This is the plaintiff, Arnold Stengel. He says he purchased a hunk of junk used car from the defendant. It doesn't have a good title. He can't get it registered, and he's here to teach the crook a lesson by suing for the return of his very hard-earned $3,000. This is the defendant, Angel Rodriguez. He says, first and foremost, he told the plaintiff the car had some issues that needed to be fixed. So he did nothing wrong there. Secondly, he signed the title over to him like he was supposed to. And third, he owes the guy nothing. He says the plaintiff's exaggerating the situation because he's got buyer's remorse after spending the money. He's accused of dumping a hunk of junk.
All parties, please raise your right hands.
Welcome back to the People's Court. Next case on the docket, the plaintiff bought a junker, and it doesn't even have a good title. The defendant says the plaintiff bought it eyes wide open, and he got the title. It's in the case of I Got Junk in the Junkie Trunk.
Thank you, Douglas. Arnold Stengel?
Stengel, yes, ma'am.
Stengel, you are suing Angel Rodriguez for $3,000, $1,300 that you paid for his car, and the rest of it in lost wages, parking fees, and work that you did to the car, plus pain and suffering. Okay, tell me what happened.
On November 10th, this gentleman posted up a Craigslist ad, which I have here with me.
Mm-hmm. Let me see it.
Yes. I was at work. I called him. I texted him. I told him that I want to go see the car. I got out of work like about 5:30. I went to his block to go see the car. We're there. I'm looking at the car. He told me about a couple of nicks and nacks that were wrong with the car, like the window. The rear view mirror wasn't, it was hanging off, and that it needed a muffler tip. A tip is just something that goes in the back. So that I was okay with.
Did you test drive the car?
No, he drove the car. I was riding in the passenger side.
Why didn't you test drive the car?
Because he told me to. He was going to take it around the block.
Did he drive the car or no?
He just took it out the parking, and I guess he didn't feel comfortable driving or anything. So I told him, "Do you want me to drive?" And I took it.
Why didn't he feel comfortable driving? Did he say?
No, I have no idea.
He asked you to switch places with him and take it on the road?
No, he actually wasn't going to test drive at all. And I told him, like, you want me to drive to show you all the gears work and if it drives good and
Why
stuff.
Why wasn't he going to test drive it at all?
I have no idea.
Yeah?
Because it didn't have a power steering belt. So the steering wheel was kind of, it was hard to maneuver. Yeah, and I didn't know how to do it. So
why would you buy the car?
No, because he told me he just needed a belt. And once you replace the belt.
What do you do for a living?
I work at Nissan.
And you're taking the seller's word for what's wrong with the car? Who's that guy next to you?
He's my mechanic. He works at Nissan with me.
Really? You can bring him to court, but you couldn't bring him with you to look at the car?
There was miscommunication there. We work at different hours and different days, so.
Then don't buy that car. Wait until there's a communication. Yeah, that's like bizarre. You're like, I understand when I've got like a little old lady standing there and she has no options and then I thought it was, I trusted it. But you work in the industry. You work at a dealership. You have mechanics. Like you have, all you gotta do is say, yo, and that's it. You got a mechanic like in your pocket and you couldn't bring a mechanic. I think it's because you think you know a lot about cars. What do you do at the Nissan place?
I drive for them. I'm not the actual mechanic.
No, I understand. But I think you know more about cars than you do. All that at your disposal, you didn't use it. Probably for free. Probably, would you have done it for free? Would you make him pay? Free. Yeah. Okay, yeah, because you all work together. I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see the car, you love it, and you buy it. Yes. How much do you pay?
$1,300.
Which is what was in the ad.
Yes.
Okay, and what is the blue book value of the car?
I have no idea.
Do you know? Nobody knows. All right, well, that's the kind of thing everybody ought to know when you're buying and selling a car, but especially when you're buying a car. All right, so go on. What happens?
So we go around the block. He revs the engine a little bit. It sounds okay. We end up going back. I give him the money, and then I end up taking the car. Yeah. So I drive the car home. The steering wheel was kind of messed up. It's still kind of hard. And as I noticed, the brake pedal goes all the way down to the floor. 2 days later, I take a risk. The car was not insured or registered. I take a risk and decided to drive the car to my job to have one of my mechanics look at it. And as I'm driving over there, I notice a million and one things wrong with the car already.
Oh, now that you're driving it, you've noticed things wrong with it?
Yeah, before I noticed everything. I texted him at 8:30 that morning, and I told him that what I noticed before my mechanic even looked at it. I texted him what I noticed, and I have the text messages here. I have the pictures I send him. I have everything.
You text him at 8:17 in the morning. Yo, what up? First things, you told me there was nothing major wrong with the car, and there is. Number one, you said the muffler tip was all it needed, and it's not. The whole exhaust is rusted and almost falling off because of the car shakes when catching up speed. Number two, the car takes forever to even get to 60 miles per hour. Number three, you can't tell how fast the car's going because the speed thing is broken. Isn't that the stuff you noticed when you were test driving or letting him test drive the car for you?
I wasn't, no.
Huh?
No, because we were going around, you know,
but you could have.
Yeah, but I didn't know the mechanical.
Yeah, like but you could have, right?
I could have, but...
Yeah. Did you want to call your mechanic as a witness?
Yeah, see, that's why he's here.
Keep it brief.
So the guy didn't even test drive the car. Is he on the hook?
He definitely is. He should have asked to test drive the car before he bought it.
$1,300. Is there any recourse for this person?
Yes.
I would go with no. Try no.
No.
Good. Going inside the courtroom.
Come on up. What's your name?
Eric Jimenez.
Go ahead.
Well, basically, Arnold brought me his car on the 13th. I checked it out, and from the moment I got in it, I can tell the car barely had any brakes. Steering wheel was hard, obviously, because of the power steering. None of the dashboard was working, and he just wanted me to check everything out.
And what's wrong with it?
Okay, I found most of the wires cut underneath the dashboard. Most of the wires weren't working, needed to be repaired. The brakes.
What do you mean by cut? Why would anybody cut it?
To install aftermarket systems or alarms or radios or something, get to the fuses.
All right, go on.
Basically, I checked over the car, safety issues for an inspection. I'm a New York State inspector. I checked the rotors. They were completely warped. The backside of the rotors were rusted. The distributor cap was leaking. Both struts were blown over bumps to make it was lost
control.
What year
car was this?
92.
92, did you say?
Yeah.
92?
92 Honda Civic.
I have humans who are younger than the car that I made. And they're in college. You're like, you know, like, wow. There's all these texts back and forth where he's telling you everything that's wrong with it. He's saying, I'm not keeping this, blah, blah, blah. What's N-I-K-K-U-H? Is that like?
It's like, I don't like to use the actual word.
You don't like to use the N-word? You just want me to think it and feel guilty?
No. You're supposed to say it the same way, but I just don't like spelling it.
You put N-I-K-K-U-H, and you too, you're talking back and forth, and then you've adopted that. Apparently you like the KK also, and you stick it in there.
It's just my way of spelling it.
All right.
It is.
What's your response to all this?
Well, on the phone before he even came to my house to see it, he asked me the problems. I told him the front axles was a little messed up. The window didn't go down.
He claims there's a bunch more than what you said.
Yeah.
Did you know that or didn't you?
No, I explained to him what I knew what was wrong. I have a street mechanic. I always take it to him. He told me what was wrong. I told him what I knew.
Who is the gentleman with you?
That's my stepfather.
Okay. And is he the one who spoke to him at one point?
Yeah, on the
phone. Come on up, stepfather. At one point, you talk to him and you tell him, well, I've got a mechanic. You can bring it to that mechanic and let's work this out.
Actually, it wasn't even like that. I got on the phone because of the nonsense that was being said back and forth. So I had to let him know, like, you know, you're doing business. You should have, first of all, I was there. He asked you several times to test drive the vehicle. He asked you several times to inspect the vehicle. You insisted on not doing either. Y'all went around the block a few times and you took the car and you left.
Okay, but why did he find you easier to deal with? Because you, at some point, did you tell him that you'd take it to your mechanic trying to smooth things over or whatever?
He actually works at Nissan.
At the place where he works?
Yes.
Oh.
He's seen me there plenty of times.
Okay, I have a couple problems with you and then we'll discuss the real issue in a moment,
yes.
Okay? The problem is, you're out of your mind. When you buy a used car that's,
22 years old.
22?
Yeah, my daughter's.
Hey, the car can drink. Okay? The burden is on you. It's buyer beware. It's as is. That is how this stuff works. So you've got to take it to a mechanic or bring a mechanic with you, which apparently you have 17 of them in your pocket and you can just do it and it's super easy. And no, you don't get your money back based on the fact that there's a bunch of problems with the car. That's on you. You fix them. Now, we do have an issue. And the issue that we do have is the title. And talk to me about the title.
After a while, I decided I was going to keep the car. I was going to work on it. Like I said, I have a bunch of mechanics.
So did you work on it?
No, I didn't. I installed the power steering belt, which I told you made the steering wheel a little bit smoother. So I take it to the DMV. I have all my paperwork, and as I'm getting ready to hand it to the teller, she told me the title is a no-go.
Can I see the title?
Yes, I have it with me.
What did she say? Why?
Yes.
What did she say?
She told me that the title is not under his name, so he technically sold me a car that wasn't even his. That's not true.
But he sold you a car that you can't. You're gonna have trouble titling. You jumped title.
Right? Yeah, I never got it registered under my name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you're cheap and you didn't feel like spending the money or going through the trouble. But there's a problem with that. If you don't do that, you technically he can't, the person signed it, but they signed it to you.
Yeah.
And then you don't have the authority to sign it to him unless you registered the car in your name.
Yeah.
So that's an issue. Because, yeah, you know, all this other stuff, he's just a baby. Okay? That's on him. But if he can't title the car, it's not a car. If he can't drive it, it's not a car. Then that part is on you. So you have spent some money on it. You've had it for this time. Yes. I'm going to give you two choices. I make a ruling and you return the car. It's not going to be what you're asking for. I can tell you that right now. You don't get pain and suffering because you suffered. Then every $100 case turns into a $10,000 case because you suffered a lot. That's not how life works. It's a contracts case. Or you could have him fix this, which means you're going to go to the DMV, you're going to stand in line, you're going to title in your name, and then you're going to do another transfer so that you can title the car. Do you like the car otherwise? Like, do you want to keep the car?
I don't want the car.
Right, but you're not going to get $3,000.
Okay, I just want the money that I paid him.
Oh, okay.
The $1,300.
Then we have no problem, because the other option I was giving you was to make him fix the title for you.
No.
That's fine. All right, so you paid $1,300 for the car, correct?
Yes.
And you paid $14 for a power steering belt?
Yes, I have the receipt with me.
No lost wages. Too much. No pain and suffering. Why $100 in parking fees?
Because the car is not registered and I can't keep it where I live.
Show me proof of $100 in parking fees.
I have the pictures of where the car is actually parked.
No, I don't care, because the fact that he gives you a car that you can't title is on him. So that would be a legitimate damage.
Okay.
But you have to show me proof. You don't have proof here today?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's out. Show me proof of the $230 in diagnostic tests. You work there. You're not paying this guy. You're not paying Nissan, are you?
Well, he is the proof. He was the one that did it.
He's not the proof. I would think that if they don't do this for you as a courtesy, they're kind of jerks.
They didn't write a repair order for him? So
if they didn't write a repair for him, why would I believe that they charged him?
You don't have any reason to.
Exactly. So that's not happening. Do you have proof of the oil change?
He was the one that performed all the labor.
Do you have proof that it cost you $29.95 for the oil change?
That's how much an oil change costs anywhere you go, and he was the one that did it.
Do you have proof that you paid him to do it?
No, because I paid him in cash.
Did he pay you $30 for the oil change?
He paid $30 for the oil and filter.
Oil. He didn't pay you for labor, right?
No.
All right. And the power steering belt?
Yes, I installed that.
He paid for the part.
He paid for the part, and I installed that.
Okay. All righty. I am going to order the defendant to refund the following. The $1,300 that you paid for it. The things you have proof of. The $1,300 that you paid for it. The $14 for the belt. And the $30 for the oil, to the tune of $1,344. You are going to return the car. You're going to get that money upon the return of the car.
Okay.
Okay, and we'll make arrangements for the return of the car with Officer McIntosh in a moment. Good luck, folks.
Thank you.
Well, here he is. He just bought himself a car. Come on in. Step next to me right over here. What are you going to do with this car here now? It's yours again.
Take it and fix it, give it to my daughter.
You're gonna keep this thing?
Yeah, the car is actually, it's a good car. So everything that the young man was talking about was exaggerated. Okay, he uses the car for work daily.
Yeah, how far do you have to drive to work?
I work for delivery.
You drive around and
yeah.
1992 car, come on.
My daughter's age.
Right, this thing is, how much life does this thing have left? Aren't you worried when they drive this thing?
I really don't drive. It's my son's car. I wouldn't drive that thing.
All right, head right down this way. Good luck with your new car.
Yeah, have a good day.
Your new 1992. Okay, come on in here. You satisfied how this comes out?
Yes, sir, very. Just wanted my money back.
Boy, you went into this one like a dummy.
Oh, yes.
The way you did.
I should have taken one of my mechanics with me, but.
Of course.
It was a quick call of judgment, you know. Oh. I just happened to go.
Right. So you have a mechanic examine the car before you ever buy a used car.
Lesson learned.
Okay. Harvey?
Kurt, I got to tell you, think through the evidence before you go to court. If you don't bring the right paperwork that is essential, you look shady.